What I want to do is give you an opportunity first to introduce yourselves and tell the audience who you are. We've got a mix of Year 12 and employees, so I just want you to introduce yourselves to the audience. And we'll start this way and go along the panel.
Hi, I'm Lucy. I work for PwC and I'm a corporate tax associate.
Ooh. Listen, don't mess around with tax people, you know, they look after you. Okay.
Hi, my name is Anastasia and I'm a Year 12 student. I'm currently studying maths, business and computer science.
So she's clever. Yes, we'll hope.
Hi, my name is Jamil. I'm currently in Year 12, going into Year 13, and I'm studying maths, economics and psychology.
I love his voice. That's good, isn't it? It's good. Deep voice.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is James. I'm a global HR business partner at Unilever.
You see, I said that global. Got a round of applause, it was so powerful. Love that. So, we want to hear from you around your motivations, your perceptions, your understanding of the whole space. So, we've been talking a lot about apprenticeships and what we can do from an employer's perspective, but we want to really hear from your perspective around what your experiences have been. So, I don't know who wants to start off by telling me, I'll start off with the apprentices. I'm going to start off with the apprentices first. Tell me about your journey into PwC.
Okay, well, when I was in Year 12, I did work experience at PwC on something called their Business Insight Week. I also did work experience at another financial firm, Ernst & Young, and it was just kind of getting a feel for the workplace, but my real goal was university. Throughout GCSEs and A-levels, university was what I was going to do. And then I applied to their apprenticeship schemes. As part of the work experience week, you got like a fast track. And then on results day, when I got my results, instead of taking my offer from university, I just decided to go to PwC, which was a shock to my parents, myself, and my school.
And UI, probably.
Yeah. but I'm much happier than I think I would be at uni. I think going straight into work was the right thing for me to do.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so obviously, like most young people, year 12 and 13, I was really unsure what I wanted to do. I applied for several apprenticeships and had a look around what was available to me in different kind of career opportunities. I was lucky enough to be offered a place at Unilever. So I joined their HR team, part of their global functions team. And it was just a real eye-opener to obviously the world of business. But also, it was an eye-opening process to understand what other opportunities were there which I didn't actually know about before looking around.
So, with both of you, did you apply for both university and the apprenticeship programs, or did you specifically hunt out your apprenticeship program?
I did both.
You did both, yeah? And what was the tipping point between going one way or another? Was it the money? No, I'm joking. But what was the thing that took you in a different direction?
For me, it was knowing what career I wanted, and I wanted something in finance, and I was going to go to uni to study economics, and I didn't. At the end of the line, it was the degree wasn't enough for me. And given the opportunity I had, in my eyes, I didn't want to waste 4 years when I was already in a company that I knew was decent.
And why did you feel, and this is not a criticism, this is I'm just trying to understand, why did you feel that the 4 years would have been a waste?
I think it comes down to me knowing that I wanted to sadly be a chartered accountant when I was about 16.
Let's stop this nonsense about apprentice and accountants. I love my accountant. My accountant is my best friend. My accountant knows more than me about my wife does. So be always be happy to be an accountant. But you've chosen a discipline, and actually that passion around a particular route is something we rarely see from individuals who are coming out of university with lots of different options. But you knew what you were going to do from day one. I was envious of that. I wish I'd known. I hated all those people who wanted to be firemen or doctors or accountants because they knew where they were. And I wasted a lot of time trying a lot of things, not understanding where it was. But you kind of found the right place, and thankfully an employer who gave you that support as well. So what was some of the support that they gave you?
Well, obviously on the apprenticeship, I'm studying as well as having the day-to-day experience of a tax associate, which is probably invaluable in my eyes because with the exams that I take, questions come up that are something I've worked on last week, and that's something that people coming out of uni won't have. So I find that makes things a lot easier. But also the people I work with have all sat these exams, and having that networking with everyone in my firm
it means that I've probably got like a easier pass rate because I can talk to anyone about any concerns I have.
So you can borrow their papers, yeah?
Well.
I would. So, James, from your perspective, did you look at both options as well?
I never really considered university. Nothing against universities at all. It was just not for me. Academic environments aren't an area that I thrive in. A classroom environment isn't somewhere where I feel particularly comfortable in myself and my own development. Whereas, you know, a business environment and somewhere where I'm being challenged and working with different people all the time was somewhere where I could really kind of sink my teeth into and, you know, get that learning and development. My sixth form, my college, really encouraged us to look at universities and actually run a two-day workshop on universities. We had lots of different guest speakers, and we during that process, they allowed everyone to start their UCAS, kind of their login and their portals and those kind of things. But the value was never there for me, and it just wasn't an attraction for me, whereas working for an organisation such as Unilever, to me, I saw it as invaluable. It was an invaluable investment into my own learning and development, but also my understanding of corporate working and corporate lifestyle.
And Unilever is a huge organisation. There's so many different brands and different departments with it. Was it not intimidating to find your way in, or did they make it relatively easy for you?
I think it was massively intimidating. Coming into an organisation the size of Unilever out of sixth form college was a completely foreign environment to me. I'd never worked in a space like that. I'd never worked with people of those different age ranges and people with different backgrounds like that. So it was a really big eye-opener. But Unilever as an organisation and their apprenticeship team really helped me to settle in and understand that, you know, you do fit in as an apprentice, you know, and they do really remove that pressure from you.
So now on to our two students. At the same institution, yes?
Yes.
Yes? Did you like each other? Not that way, like, I'm sorry, like, it's not blind date, And mum's in the audience, so definitely not having that. But essentially, did you know each other before the apprenticeship program?
No. Not really. No.
You were doing different programs?
Yeah.
So what were you studying?
Maths, economics, psychology.
Maths, business, computer science.
You're both in maths and you didn't even talk to each other.
There's a lot of maths classes.
Okay, exactly. Cool, okay. quick disclaimer there, I like that. So essentially, how many of your peers are talking about apprenticeships?
I would say none.
None?
Around my friends?
Yeah.
No.
None at all?
No.
So why are you the odd one out then? Why are you thinking about an apprenticeship?
I wanna make the best decision for me, and I think the process to make one is exploring all my options and see everything that's out there, and then I can actually decide for myself. So
I wish I was that mature when I was. I was just going to find out the best institution to go and have some parties. I was with Ollie doing the free parties every single night. But that's a very mature attitude to have. Do you think that is coming from the lack of knowledge about universities, or there's more information about apprenticeships? What's driving that decision for you?
I would say it's more personal. I would never do something because other people would do it.
You're definitely not sheep.
No.
I like that. That's good. Do you want to go your own way?
Yes.
Do you know where you want to focus? What that is?
Well, finance, banking, that's my goal. But I'm always open to new sectors, new departments. I'm really open-minded.
You want to make money, though?
I do.
Yeah, speak to Lucy. Lucy's all right. Lucy's sorted. Which direction would you like to take, Jamil?
I think I'd like apprenticeship in finance.
Okay. Why?
Why? Well, finance is one of the highest paying sectors, and
I can see a trend developing here. But we jest, though. But for many of your cohort, is that the driving factor thinking about what you're going to earn? It's about the fact that you can earn while you're learning. Is that what's pushing you? Let's be honest now, we're amongst family, yes? We're amongst family. Is that what's driving you in this direction?
No.
So what is driving you?
So
I think Jamal paused, he took a breath and said yes.
So I'm currently working as well while I'm studying, and skills that I picked up while working and just the work environment, it's something I don't want to give up on. So I think through an apprenticeship degree, I will have the chance to study and work at the same time.
So you want to do a higher level apprenticeship?
Yes.
Okay. So have you identified any potential employers that might be able to provide that?
Not yet, unfortunately.
Okay. So would you, are there any brands, there's a big room here, any brands that you would be particularly interested in, do you know, in the banking world?
No,
one
not
begins
really.
With J. There's one over there. But we'll talk to him. Talk to him later. I'll get feed. I'll get feed for that. And you, my friend, you said finance, yes?
Yeah.
And it is money.
Yeah, it is money. But the thing is with me is, I personally don't believe you need a degree to be successful. I was saying to someone before, like, there's loads of things you can do without a degree. Some things you do need a degree, so dentistry, medicine, law, but there's other ways to make money, and apprenticeship is one of them. And I think my plan is just to get an apprenticeship, get a salary, get money, and then either I'm going to go into business or property. But I don't feel like I need to go university, spend 3 years there, paying money instead of making money. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think apprenticeship is a step to like help me get further in my life.
See, I think that's a really interesting insight for us who are involved in the attraction space, because lots of people will be extolling the benefits of the program, the delivery that you can have on site. And actually, would you say, are any of your peers thinking about apprenticeships, by the way?
Not really. Like, most of my friends just want to go uni. Like, that's the thing, isn't it? You finish your A-levels, you go uni, you get a job, and that's it. But for me, it's different. I've got different goals to them, and that's just how it is.
So for an employer to talk to both of you, they would have to first initially come with the suitcase full of cash. But let's be honest, the salary is quite important for you. No?
It's part of it, but there's so many other aspects when you're looking at a company.
Okay, for what's example, number two then?
Values. So their values and the people who work there as well.
Yep.
So that's the first thing I would look at. I want someone who shares the same values as I do. So someone I would enjoy to work for.
Yep. And within the finance industry, there's a big revolution around value-based support around individuals, given lots of the controversies that have gone in. So you actually, it's a very timely moment to be having that. But not many of your peers, and this is for the whole panel now, not many of your peers, I would assume, have gone this particular route. Is that right?
No.
No?
I was thinking about this the other day, actually, from at least my class at college. I believe I'm the only apprentice out of a class of probably 25, I think. The vast majority of them went to university. I know a couple of them have gone travelling, but I believe I am the only apprentice from...
And where did you go to college?
I went to Coombe Boys Sixth Form.
Yep, which is, for the audience?
In New Malden, sorry.
Yep, New Malden, okay. And out of 20-odd, you're the only one?
I'm the only one from my particular class, yeah.
And the programme you're on now, can you explain what the apprenticeship is? What programme it is?
So it's a level 3 apprenticeship. It's in business management. My role is obviously within HR, but the 20% of my study time is primarily focused on the coursework around business and management, employment law, and those kind of different aspects. I think thinking about my class and the reason why perhaps some of them didn't go for an apprenticeship, I couldn't go into individual details, but I think a lot of it was my school was very focused and driven towards university. And they did push that a lot. And I think the more that they pushed, some of us just tried to run as far the other way as we can. that was just the way it was, unfortunately.
And is the same for you, Lucy?
Yeah, so in my sixth form, there's about 60 people, and there's probably about 5 apprentices, all in London. I'm from Hertfordshire myself. Mm-hmm. And I think for some of us, no, we're all from the same... In terms of the people that have gone into apprenticeships, we're all from the economics and business A-level classes. And I think that's got, because we're all in finance or something similar, and I think that's got something to do with the teacher we had, because he gave us the kind of, just the idea of there's other things other than university, because my school were not advocates of apprenticeships, didn't help me with my application, always pushed university. And then once I left, they then saw the positives.
And what programme are you on?
So I'm on a higher apprentice. I'm working towards the first level to become a chartered tax advisor. So the exams that my friends, if they want to the same career as me, will have to come out of university and do. Just doing them a couple of years earlier and earning.
You like that, don't you?
It's nice.
But I think it's very comforting as a parent as somebody involved in the emerging talent space, to see the level of confidence that you all have around the direction of travel that you want to go in. Because actually, going against the peer group is quite a daunting thing. When everybody else is taking the road more travelled, you've all decided to go somewhere else. And that's quite powerful for you as individuals. Do you think, because I now know what programmes that you're on and the direction that you wish to travel, do you think you'll get to a point where you may regret not having gone to university?
Within my company, that was always kind of a thought when I started. I thought, right, I'm not going to have a degree. Am I going to get cut off somewhere, reach my peak, and then not be able to go any further? But since actually being there, most of my team, directors and partners have said, if that program was available for me, I'd have taken it. Some clients that I've spoken to that I work with, they say, I've done the exact same thing, and I've got this high in here. This is the job I've done. And in finance, a degree is not a necessity. It's if you want to go to uni, when I speak to students now that are looking at the various programmes that PwC offer, I say, if you want to go to uni, then do it. But in terms of your progression within PwC, definitely, there isn't any kind of holding back. And that's something that I've become more aware of as being there.
Is that something you all share?
I believe so, yeah.
So, Anastasia, you want values, you want money, you know, but it's clear, but you know the industry sector you want to get into. Are you worried about any of the choices that you'll make? Because you're still, both of you are still in education. This is your final year, yes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is about quite a life-changing decision that you're going to make. Are there any worries that you have around the decision that you're going to take?
I don't want any of my choices to limitate me in the future. So I want to keep growing professionally.
Yeah.
So I don't want anything to get in the way.
And both of the current apprentices have said that there was a lot of pressure from their current institutions about pushing them in a certain direction, which you kind of reiterated. Is that the same thing you're finding, that people are encouraging you to go to university?
Yeah. I've recently had a work experience in a hedge fund. And when I was talking...
How did you do that? I went to work in a retail store. It's like
I do work in a retail store.
Yeah, but you did do your work experience there.
I did. There's a platform for students, and my college was advertising it, and I've decided to try it once. So I know my first try. And when I was talking to people who worked there, I was telling them how my future plans would be to join an apprenticeship degree.
Yep.
And their answer to that was, oh, you should aim higher.
And that was from the employer?
From people who worked there.
We worked there, yeah. And how did that make you feel?
Kind of demotivated.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you didn't stop anyway.
No, obviously not.
But from your perspective, is that the same scenario with regards to, is there pressure from the school to push you in a certain direction?
I don't really think so, because obviously apprenticeships are merging and people are becoming more aware of them. So, you know, teachers are, you know, a bit more, they can accept it a bit better. But I was going to touch on what you said about limitations. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go to investment banking, but then I was looking at, there's different tiers. So there's front office, middle office, back office.
Back office.
With an apprenticeship, you can't get into front office, and, you know, that's understandable, but they only take the top tier universities. So what you said about regrets, I don't want to regret that, oh, I never had a chance to get into front office, because doing an apprenticeship, I would only be able to get into middle and back office rather than front. I think that's one of my only regrets.
So do you think there is a pathway post-apprentice to get to the desired position that you want, or do you think that will be a limitation regardless because you didn't go to university?
I think they should make a different way to get into front office rather than just getting a degree from a top university.
So there should be a direct programme at a higher level to do a front office position?
That's something they should look into. It's the same for becoming a lawyer as well. If you want to become a lawyer, you can't do it through an apprenticeship scheme. And
excuse me, I work for a law firm, you absolutely...
You can.
Boom! Boom! And sorry, what's your name? Owen Mitchell. See, there you go.
So you can become a full-time lawyer.
You see, this is the thing about youth. I love this. The wisdom come in the room and all of a sudden, bam, you're like, really? No, but this is why this is the conversation is important. Look at that, my brother. You're going to get recruited. UBS are desperate for you. sorry. Stand up. So, who said that? And your name is? I'm earning enough commission up here, though. This is really hard. I'm going to leave out JP, UBS. No, but someone else.
Oh, no, I've had enough. It's
no, no. Never take it, young man.
I've had enough.
This is the resilience you need.
But it's digital, isn't it? It's in digital. But not in front office. In, what,
stop
what?
Resisting, my brother. Stop resisting.
Oh, I don't know.
Go and get his car. Don't resist. Don't resist. But this is... Firstly, I love the fact that all the bankers stood up and started to compete with each other. That was really good. But what I really loved about the conversation is that this highlights why this event is so important, because it's about showing that there is still the lack of connection between the information that exists, and you will be claimed as the digital natives, as the kids who know everything. When actually we need to do more about educating you about the opportunities that are available, because there are so many now that are changing and rapidly changing that may not be open to everybody. So just think about the year 11s or the year 10s who are at your college, or the ones who are at your institution who may not have the confidence to step outside of the norm, who may not have the opportunity to go through that intimidating process. This is why this is so important. Does that make sense, yeah? So hopefully you will be the ambassadors now, and hopefully you've all got your phones out and you're hashtagging, because we need that hashtag to see the messages, that this is why this conversation is really important. So when you do get a job and you do earn that money, send me a check, because I'll be very happy to receive it. But what from your perspective, can be done more, both, and I want you to think about this while I open up the floor for questions, because I'm sure there's some questions from the audience about your experience or what they can do around engaging you. What could be done more from an education perspective, so from the education facilities, to encourage the variety of opportunities? And what could be done more from businesses? What can businesses do more to get more of you bright sparks to understand that their brands are opening the doors for opportunities? So while you think about those pearls of wisdom that you're going to leave this audience with, I'll open up the floor to questions. Any questions for our lovely panel? Be nice. Yes, my friend. And your name, organisation, and wait for the microphone, which is just coming through. Okay. Fantastic.
Hi, I'm Mark Anderson. I'm an independent careers advisor. I'd like to ask the apprentices, can you describe what your application process was in terms of getting the job, and how well prepared you felt you were for that?
I'll go, yeah. So in terms of the PDBC, it was online assessments. I can't remember now, so long ago. Then a phone interview, an assessment centre in a group, and then a final interview. In terms of kind of help from my school, there was next to nothing. In terms of help from websites and things like that, if people have written their experiences and that's what I used to kind of get an understanding. So the knowledge was there a little bit, but now it's more there. I had, because I did work experience with PDBC, I was lucky enough to have a buddy, and I've kept in contact with her and kept her details. So when I was doing my interview, I met her before for a coffee, and it put me a lot more at ease. So it was having those kind of network connections that helped me feel better about it.
Same as Lucy, it's a digital recruitment process, online assessments, phone interview, followed by an assessment centre, then a final face-to-face interview. Preparation, the school didn't directly prepare me for it. I worked when I was at sixth form college, and obviously we all know how competitive the jobs market is. It was, you know, 10 or 12 applications later before I got my part-time job. So I did kind of acclimatise to what these processes looked like and what they were asking for, and kind of got used to some of the similarities between them. I was lucky enough, as part of the studying that I did at college, that I did sit through a mock assessment centre, which actually really helped prepare me for this. For when I went to my assessment centre at Unilever, it was very similar. I felt quite comfortable in it. It's probably the most comfortable I've felt during that process. But I think schools do have a really big responsibility on their shoulders to ensure that they are not only educating themselves as teachers to understand that there are opportunities out there like this, but then to pass that education on and that knowledge to young people to say, these are the processes that you're going to face. You know, these are the challenges. Here's how you can overcome that. And, you know, something as simple as running a one-day workshop for 4, 5, 6 hours, just taking one day out of the school year, or, you know, even running it on a Saturday for those who are interested, would be invaluable to young people and young talent coming into businesses.
Wow. I like it. Might run for politics at some point. But no, that very articulate that you said. Before we get onto your personal, any additional questions? Yes. If we can get a microphone to this other young lady. What's the question?
Thank you. I don't know if you can hear me. Is it working?
Yep.
Great.
Your name and organisation.
Sorry, thank you. So Nikki Smith, I work for GlaxoSmithKline, I'm a part of the Early Talent Programme there. It's less of a question and more of a plea to the students. The sense I'm getting is that some of the career avenues you're exploring are perhaps a bit of the obvious ones. So I'm good at finance, I'm good at maths, I'm going to think about banking. We know as a pharmaceutical organisation, people who want to come, who are scientists, think immediately, you know, GSK or Pfizer. If you want to be an engineer, you're probably thinking TfL or
Rolls Royce,
yeah. But most large organisations have a wide variety of apprenticeships. They will all have a wide variety of roles, of support functions. So, if, you know, those of you who are interested in finance as a career, all organisations, big organisations, will have a finance department. They'll have finance apprenticeships. In GSK, as well as scientists, we're always looking to attract, you know, engineers, HR folks, salespeople. So just kind of think more widely than just perhaps the very obvious routes, I would say, because the opportunities that are out there are so diverse. So it wasn't a question, it was just maybe some advice.
No, it's good, it's good. UBS and go, they're looking at you like stop, we want to take them. But but essentially, it's a very, very, very good point. And there's another job opportunity there. You see, look, it's like, make sure you get her card before you disappear. But it's a very good... A general question before I go back to the floor. What do your friends think of you going on an apprenticeship, and what do your friends think about you thinking about going on an apprenticeship? Starting on the outside, coming in.
A lot of my friends, obviously, like I said, from my class, were a bit like, an apprenticeship? Mm. Why not come to uni with the rest of us? That was just my decision. But I think... there was a lack of understanding from some people as to what apprenticeships actually are, what they offer and what you gain from them. And, you know, now that I've been at Unilever for 10 months, obviously they've finished, you know, their first year at university, a lot of them, you know, when I've met up with them in the summer and, you know, we've gone for drinks or a coffee or whatever, a lot of them have said that, you know, I really wish I'd looked into the apprenticeship avenue more and understood them more, because now that they've spoke to me and found out what I'm doing and the and kind of experiences that I've had, that appeals to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're in a position now where some of them are concerned that was university the right option for them? And I think, again, it's just that understanding of the offerings of both, because they both offer fantastic things. It's just finding out the details of what they offer.
It's a better articulation of the offer.
Yeah, for the same with me, it's really, my friends didn't understand what I was doing. They didn't really understand the job that I wanted to do in itself, let alone the company I work for. And the idea of an apprenticeship to them had quite a lot of negative connotations, as it kind of has growing up with me. My school, I think, sees them as a downgrade to university, and definitely kind of spoke about that to all the students. I think that's the kind of the impression they got. Mm. But now they've been in uni, especially ones that have gone to do something like economics, finance, anything like that, they now understand the company I work for and what I am doing and how it is better for me. And there have been a few that have said, I kind of wish I'd looked into it, or at least got work experience, or something like that.
Fantastic. I'll come back to you in a second. Let's see any more questions from the floor. Yes? Wait for the microphone, it's rushing behind. It's our man from JP. Just in case you wanted to have that conversation.
Hello. Firstly, to Gaza the invoice.
He's not messing around. Ollie, so, can we get the invoice out, please?
Yeah. Bidding starts at 1,000.
So question for Jamil and Anastasia. Obviously, given that you're going to be potentially applying for programs in about 3 months' time, right? I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. What do you think I'm looking for?
You're looking for? You're looking for a hard worker, someone who's passionate about the finance industry, not necessarily someone who knows everything, because obviously they're coming onto a new job, but someone who's willing to learn and open to new things. And investment banking is very, it's a very tough industry, so you need like hard workers, people have resilience. And has that answered your question, or are you looking for anything else?
Your view, that's fine, yeah.
I would say the same, passionate, driven person, people. I think that's really important in a worker. And also you would look to differentiate your company. So you want people coming from different backgrounds, with different ideals. Probably someone who could actually have a say and just, I don't know, input something into your company as well. I think that's important.
Great, thank you.
Multilingual,
yes, multilingual, there you go. Okay, I've just got a big mouth, so it's okay, I'll just keep shouting. Brilliant. Any additional questions from the floor?
Yes, I have one.
Where? Oh, here. There you go.
Hi, Andrew from EY. To, I think, Lucy and, I can't remember, sorry, I haven't got my glasses on, James.
Yes.
Given what Jamil just responded to with their answer, do you feel that when you applied for the apprenticeship program that you were given the opportunity to show that you could be passionate, or you are passionate or creative, or how did you find the whole experience? Do you think that you were able to kind of show who you really are and why you're applying for the program?
That's a really good question, and showing who you really are is really difficult. It's a very challenging thing to do during a digital application process. There's not that face-to-face contact. During that process, though, I had the opportunity of the phone interview, and then finally the assessment centre and the face-to-face interview. Those are really the key opportunities where you can show who you are, why you're passionate, because I'm sure everyone in this room has been to job interviews, obviously, but the first question, or the last question you always get, is why? Why do you want to work for the organisation that you're applying for? That's a really good opportunity to have. I mean, when you get asked that question, it separates the applicants, I think it really does, because you get, on one side, you get applicants who have researched the business, they understand what the business stands for, and they know what attracts them to that organisation. Then there's people who perhaps, or even though they have research business, they're not that passionate about it. So I think organizations, when you're running your recruitment process, really try to ask probing questions about why the individual wants to join you, what's their passion, what's their drive, what's their purpose. And that will really help you to find the best candidates, but it'll also bring, you know, the not just the top talent, but those people who are really passionate about what they want to do.
I know EY does an awful lot in that early career space. One of our St. Bonaventure's pupils, Chris Achibon, was on the programme an awful long time ago, so I know there's an awful lot of work there. Any additional questions from the floor? Gentlemen, just over the back there. We're making these roving micers run far today.
Hi, Adam from Mazar. This is a question for all the panellists, really. You all mentioned how there was a lack of support or information in regards to apprenticeships from your school. How did you become aware of the opportunities that were out there, and what more could be done for you guys to see what else was out there?
For me, it was one flippant comment from my economics teacher, just mentioned that there were these companies out there. He knew I was interested in accountancy and just gave me the knowledge of kind of post-uni, but then I kind of questioned, well, about pre-uni, can I do it without going there? But in terms of what my school could have done, was they took us to a university fair where we saw all different universities, could speak to them, get all their prospectuses. But there is an apprenticeship fair, which I have gone to now with my company to promote them. And it's simply if they just offered us the opportunity to go there, I think a lot more people would have taken up that opportunity.
Any other points? No? Okay. I thought there was a question over here. Yes, my friend.
So Steve Earl Cummins, just a comment really, so some real honesty come out. I think the resistance on apprenticeships is, you won't feel it in this room because we're here, all here to celebrate it. But it was interesting earlier on, you showed your video of your passing out parade, which is a moment at the end of the training before you start off. And it's something sadly missing from apprenticeships, where we celebrate at the end of the first stage of learning. Because I think some people are very naive in if they can see a picture of someone with a mortarboard and a folded scroll, somehow think they're better. And we don't do enough to celebrate apprenticeships as we get to the end.
Give them a round of applause on that. Yeah.
Can I make a comment on that?
Please, the good thing is about being black, you can't see me blush, but that round of applause made Steve go bright red, so I love that. Go ahead.
Just a comment from me, and obviously it's not a sales pitch, Unilever. We have a graduation at Unilever. We, you know, at the end of our programme, we run a graduation, we celebrate everything that everyone's done, everyone achieves a certificate. We have an evening where we bring all the apprentices back together like we do at the start, and everyone talks about their journey and their experience, and that is a really good point, because you're right. You know, what is at the end of an apprenticeship? You know, we do see when people finish university, there's these big passing out shows and they look really fun. You know, it's an honour to attend something like that. And you're right, organisations with apprentices should do the same thing.
The parents, because there'll be men Facebooking their friends, but, you know, my child's achieved something. That's how it's been going, even though you felt, you know, no, not you. Sorry.
I was about to say, we're slightly different, me and Ollie, but we are brothers. We love you, Steve. That's right. It's a brilliant idea. It's a brilliant idea. There's another question just behind. But there's two. Can you do them together? Oh no, you're helping your friend. I like that. I like that. Come on, this is your consultancy fee opportunity now.
Well,
give them a little nugget and then you can go and sell your services to them later, before Ollie gets in there.
I saw a video about another apprenticeship, and it was this guy, he was a really trendy guy, young guy, and he had a car and he was like really excited to do his apprenticeship, and it wasn't actually the apprenticeship itself, but it was just the video and like something we can relate to. And I think if you use, I don't know, social media or some kind of advertising, because I haven't seen that much advertising of apprenticeships. I've only seen about one company outside. And then obviously I've seen that video as well. So I think if you made some kind of video about one of your apprentices in like a day in the life or something, they could see what they're doing and like how their life is and how it's different and how it's fun.
The difficulty is that this is not a homogenous market. The conversation with university students are very specific because there are direct routes and direct channels to have the conversation. With this market, we're talking about, as we did in the first panel, it could be those returners, it could be existing employees, it could be very fresh individuals who are straight coming out of school. Depending on the type of individuals that you're looking to attract and based on the culture of the organisation in terms of what you need, it may be very wise to have a conversation with somebody like a KSI, an influencer, and at the other end, it may be better to get individuals who have gone through the programme who can extol the benefits because they bring it to life. There's no silver bullet, unfortunately, and I'm sure that's what many of you would agree, because none of you had a role model, as it were, to push you in the directions of your organisation. You had a desire around doing something different beforehand. So I suppose there's a big open space, which scares lots of marketing teams and departments because it's like, oh my gosh, what's the pattern here? What do we do to get the return on investment that we usually have? If I spend this £10, will I get 50 employees? that's really difficult with a market that is constantly changing. We're encouraging more people to come into a brand new space. But I suppose what we've seen work very well with organisations is that they look and identify what makes a good employee first, and then translate that into their assessment and attraction process to be able to go and to find the right individual. Having great relationships with schools is always very useful if it is at the younger end that they're looking. And we can't deny lots of employers are currently converting existing workforce into apprentices because that is sometimes the easier way to start the conversation, particularly as they're starting to work out what's the ROI on our levy payment. Do you see what I mean? Sometimes that's the easier conversation to have initially before going out and starting to do something that's radical off the bat. But given the conversation that we had with Carolyn, there's a lot more support now about engaging people in the workforce, using the job centres, using the other pathways to get more talent in. And I'm sure in the networking that will happen afterwards, people will come and find out, one, what GIST is, because I'll be Googling that in a second, but then also to find out and share some experiences and maybe what they've had. Is that fair to say, audience? I'm slightly deaf. Yes, audience?
Yes.
Fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant. I think we're coming towards the end, so unless there's some burning questions, no, thank you, then we're going to ask for your pearl of wisdom, leading on from that conversation. What would you have liked to have seen to help push the conversation that you're now going to have around apprenticeships, whether you're starting or going to start going forward? Start at this end and walk them down.
Yeah, sure. What would I have liked to have seen? There's three key players in the apprenticeship market: the government, businesses, and schools. Businesses and schools, in my opinion, lead that in the engagement front, in the engagement of young people. Schools really need to ensure that they're educating young people on what other opportunities are available to them. And businesses really need to think about what are young people looking for, okay? The job market is changing and the career market's changing. Jobs aren't forever as they're seen now. A lot of people move jobs every 5, every 6, 7, 8 years, okay? You really need to consider, when you're thinking about young people, what am I offering them in their development, in their career? And then, you know, even if they complete their apprenticeship and they move to a different organisation, what is the experience that they're going to have at your organisation that in 10, 15 years' time, when they've got far more experience, they've gained far more skills, are they going to turn around and say, you know what, I had a really good experience at that organisation, I've made a lot more learning and development professionally and personally, let me go back, let me see what I can offer them now.
Thank you.
Your question was...
So it's about what could we do, what would help you, would have encouraged you to look down the route of an apprenticeship?
So obviously Rate My Apprenticeship, it's got reviews, but I think something beyond that, like I was saying, that video is probably one of the only videos I've seen that guy's day in the life, what he does. I thought that was so interesting, like, what he does. I think if people were a lot more open and there was a lot more detail about it, because if you were to go on YouTube and type in my university experience, there's so many people talking about, my dorm, my studying, this, that. But when it comes to apprenticeship, there's not much on apprentices and their day in the life and, like, their challenges. And
bringing it to life.
Yeah, so a review is not that detailed. It's obviously you get a bit of an insight, but to actually hear someone's, and then maybe if you saw what they were doing on a day-to-day basis, I think it'll be a lot more interesting, because when you think of a job, it's all big, daunting and scary. But if you saw someone's video and you saw a young guy, he's coping with it'll be a lot easier to comprehend and it'll be a lot more attractive, I think.
Very good point.
I think it helps with young people as well. We've had a lot of people come into our classes and just talk about their experience, and they were all from university. So it would have been nice to see people coming from this kind of experiences talk to us and tell us what they've achieved and what they've accomplished. I think it will help spread the word about apprenticeships as well.
So more role models coming actually into school.
I think so, yeah. I think it will engage young people more to actually see what they've done, their backgrounds, or what they have achieved as well. And I think schools in particular, they should push us. They should push us to see what's on the outside. So don't just talk about school and just universities and just stay in the same circle. It's better to kind of like push us on the outside, see what's else out there.
bigger horizon. Okay. James and Lucy, you're going to be busy running and giving advice at school. What would have helped you?
I think kind of more work experience opportunities before they actually apply to uni and before you actually start the application for an apprenticeship, so that you have that knowledge before. Because when I had that, that really opened the door to what I'm doing now. And again, someone coming in to school and talking to me, other than like past students and things like that, came from university, which was helpful. But for someone who doesn't want to go to university, ultimately useless.
So very interesting. We did a piece of work with Microsoft, who had an initiative around changing the work experience conversation to work inspiration. Because going back to your point, it was about opening up the different opportunities that are in the world of work beyond what's on the mast of the organisation. So you might be a little company that does a little bit around some drugs and stuff, but essentially there's so much more in the back office, etc., that individuals can be opened up for. And the other interesting statistic is that 98% of Rate My Apprenticeship reviewers actually go on to recommend it to a friend. Mm. So having that personal connection with somebody who could actually say, well, I went through this and it was all right, I didn't die, yeah, they didn't make me just make tea all day long, can be a really powerful endorsement. It works for my wife. She's not apprentice, but essentially if somebody recommends her to use a product or service, she'll trust it from someone she likes because she sees the results immediately. And why should that not be the same for somebody who's gone through one of the most transformational opportunities in their career, deciding to go to university or an apprenticeship? My friends, I think regardless of all the negativity we see amongst young people in newspapers, I'm really encouraged about the future is in very safe hands, whether it's from tax perspective or finance or any of the products that you will be involved in with our amazing young planet. Please put your hands together for our youth.